Iraq's Holy City of Karbala hosts pilgrims mourning the martyrdom anniversary of the third Shia Imam. Lebanon says, well, a leader says resistance will continue until the demise of the Israeli regime, which he says is close. Train disruptions in the UK, workers of the railway network go on a strike to demand better pay. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Good to have you with us. The millions of people from across the world have flocked to the Iraqi holy city of Karbala to commemorate the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. Mourners gathered at the shrine of the third Shia Imam to pay tribute to him on the 10th day of the lunar month of Muharram. The day known as Ashura is when the Imam and 72 of his companions were martyred in an unequal battle with the army of the tyrant of the time. The battle took place on the plains of Karbala in 680 AD. It serves as an internal reminder of the fight against oppression and injustice. Ashura has been marked every year since some 14 centuries ago. Some countries, including Iran, commemorated the day on Friday this year.
People from all walks of life, young and old, clad in black, out on the streets taking part in mourning processions. During the first 10 days of the Islamic month of Muharram, culminating in Taswa and Ashura, eulogists recite the events of the Battle of Karbala, and Islamic scholars elaborate on the underlying message of Imam Hussein's stance against tyranny. Taswa is the ninth day of the lunar month of Muharram. It is considered a very important religious occasion as Muslims worldwide commemorate the martyrdom anniversary of the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ashura, which literally means the 10th of Muharram, is the day Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his 72 companions were martyred in the Battle of Karbala in southern Iraq in 680 AD, as they fought courageously for justice against the much larger army of the Umayyad Caliph, Yazid I. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a hero that transcends time. His goodness makes him a moral example for all human beings worldwide, and foreign students at Tehran University have not missed the chance to mourn for the much revered Imam along with the entire Iranian nation.
We all gather here, irrespective of religion. We here in our Hayat, a lot of students who belongs to the different sects like Ahl Sunnah and other sects as well, they work for the love of Imam Hussein.
The very popular phrase, Hubbul Hussein Yajma'ana, this is the actual meaning of it, that everyone from around the world, no matter of their background, can come together and commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein for one message. The message of Islam, the message of the grandfather Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Participating in Hayat means like propagating the message of Imam Hussein, which is justice and unity.
Tearful mourners take part in rituals while educating the younger generation about the sufferings of Imam Hussein. The processions continue until noon. After the prayers, people line up for lunch. Many people consider it an honor to serve the lovers of Imam Hussein, and that is why they give away food not just to the needy, but also to those that have been taking part in the processions.
Cooking for a large crowd is very difficult, but we enjoy serving the lovers of Imam Hussein. It's an honor. Today we served about 3,500 meals. The positive vibes that we get on this day is simply incomparable to any other experience.
The mourning rituals of Tasua and Ashura are considered an important part of Iranian culture, mostly because of the opportunity to reflect on Imam Hussein's values, his way of life, and what he stood up for. Gisumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
The Secretary General of the Lebanese Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, has addressed the people attending a mourning procession to commemorate the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein. In our news review program, we discuss issues raised by Syed Hassan Nasrallah.
It's time now for the news review segment of this bulletin. The Secretary General of the Lebanese Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, says the Israeli regime is an evil entity which should be wiped off the region.
Zionist entity is the clear wrong and the clear evil in this time. It is one of the most evil in our region. It is also absolute evil. It is pure corruption. It is a cancerous tumor in our region.
Speaking in a televised address, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah added that the region has never seen peace due to the existence of the Israeli regime. He further warned Tel Aviv about the consequences of desecrating holy sites, including Al-Aqsa Mosque. Nasrallah noted the resistance front will press ahead with its campaign against Israel and that the demise of the regime is close at hand. He said Hezbollah will continue to stand by the Palestinian people in their fight against the Israeli regime. Elsewhere in his remarks, he condemned the desecration of the Holy Quran in Denmark and Sweden and denounced any sacrilegious act. Nasrallah also underlined that Lebanon will continue to defend its integrity and sovereignty against any acts of aggression. Joining us for more on this story is Sayyid Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator from London. We also have David Miller, academic broadcaster and investigative researcher from the British city of Bristol. Gentlemen, welcome. Sayyid Mohsen, if I could start with you. So essentially what if we can sum up Sayyid Nasrallah's speech is that in line with Imam Hussein's legacy that Muslims or all freedom-seeking people around the world need to stand up against tyrants, authoritarian regimes across the world.
Imam Hussein said death with dignity is better than life with humiliation. This is an absolutely categorical statement which really shakes us to our foundations in terms of our political and our social outlook, and as Muslims and as human beings. I mean, Israel, as Sayyid Nasrallah has quite clearly mentioned, is the manifestation of pure evil today. It's the manifestation of a regime, a system which is fundamentally and it's at its core systemically unjust. And it's obligatory on any human being who has any sense of justice or any rationality or any logic to oppose that system.
Okay, and now David Sayyid Nasrallah also alluded to the fact that there will not be peace in the region until the Israeli apartheid regime is removed, this entity is removed. Your thoughts?
Well, there certainly will not be peace. The Zionist entity is against peace. It's against the possibility of coexistence with the Arab world. It only believes in the subjugation, first of all, of the Palestinians, and then, of course, of its neighbours. It insists that its neighbours cannot be independent and sovereign. It insists on intervening in Lebanon. Its daily raids on Syria are a blight on humanity. And of course, it is engaged in all sorts of subversion in many other places. But of course, the difficulty it has is that it is not unopposed. It's not unopposed, first of all, of course, by the resistance inside Palestine, but also by the resistance axis, which of course Nasrallah and Hezbollah are a key part of. But there, of course, is the rest of the resistance axis in Yemen, in Iraq, in Syria, and indeed, of course, in Iran.
Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. We are running a bit short on time, so let me thank our guests for their contribution. Sayed Mohsen Abbas is a journalist and political commentator joining us from the British capital, London. David Miller is an academic and a broadcaster as well as an investigative researcher joining us from the British city of Bristol. That brings an end to another edition of the News Review.
I'm moving on. A Tehran court has named some 100 fugitive members of the anti-Iran Mujahideen-e-Khalq terrorist organization as defendants in a case to stand trial. In a public announcement, the criminal court also called on the defendants to introduce attorneys to represent them during the trial. An indictment has already been issued against the defendants, who include Masoud Rajavi and Maryam Rajavi, two senior members of the terrorist group. The MEK has conducted numerous acts of terror against Iranian officials and ordinary people, killing large numbers of them. The terrorist group was also a key ally of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Train passengers in Britain are facing another day of disruption as the country's rail network is hit by fresh industrial action over pay and working conditions. 20,000 train crews at 14 rail companies have walked out of their jobs. Train managers, station staff, and guards are among the strikers. The operators are based in England, but the stoppage will affect cross-border trains to and from Scotland and Wales. Passengers have been warned to check train timetables before travel, as large areas of the rail network are expected to have little or no service. A 24-hour strike could disrupt family holiday travel amid the six-week school break. This is the third walkout in 9 days that hit Britain's rail network. The country has seen similar strikes across other sectors in recent months. The latest official figures show the number of people living in temporary accommodation in England has hit a 25-year high. Almost 105,000 households were in temporary accommodation, including more than 131,000 children in the first quarter of the year. Now, this figure is 10% up on the same day last year. Critics argue that the government has failed to provide enough affordable homes for low-income people.
England is facing a homelessness crisis. According to the latest official figures, the number of people living in temporary accommodation in England has hit a 25-year high. Over 104,000 households were in temporary accommodation by the end of March of this year, the highest figure since records began in 1998. The figure shows a 10% jump of homeless people in England compared to last year. 9,520 more households have been placed in temporary accommodation since 2022.
Catherine West.
Thank you very much, Madam Deputy Speaker. Could we have a debate in government time on a very sad record which will be broken? The highest ever number of families in homeless households in temporary accommodation in London by the end of this summer. Ever, ever, ever. The long-term impacts on health and educational attainment of our citizens is at risk. Would she agree with me that in the current climate, with the mortgage crisis, the unaffordable rents going up by 20% in some London boroughs, and very, very long queues for social homes because of the lack of money from the government to build them, we do desperately need to tackle the housing crisis in London and beyond.
Over 131,000 children are also in temporary accommodation, the highest figure on record. Almost 14,000 households were in hotels or bed and breakfast in the 3 months to March. Figures also show a sharp rise in homelessness in older people. In the year to the 31st of March, with a 33.3% increase in the number of homeless households with a priority need due to old age. Experts say loss of a private tenancy is the leading cause of homelessness. Instability in the private rental market, exacerbated in the short term by rising interest rates and mortgage payment increases, has led to steep rent rises and property owners deciding to sell their properties. Campaigners say a lack of housing, exacerbated by a decision by ministers to freeze local housing allowance rates for the past 3 years, also lies at the root of the problem. The number of households being issued with no-fault evictions has also risen in the past year, with a 21% increase in those at risk of homelessness due to a no-fault eviction. The government has also frozen the local housing allowance at 2020 levels. First, the amount which people claiming household benefits who rent privately are entitled.
Let's test that, because the question he refuses to answer, he actually knows the answer to this question, is £2,900 extra. That's the cost to the average family of the Tory mortgage penalty. Now, he was warned by experts about this as long ago as autumn last year, but he either didn't get it, didn't believe it, or didn't care, because he certainly didn't do anything. And when I raised this a couple of months ago, he had the gall to stand at that dispatch box and say he was delivering for homeowners. How is an extra £2,900 a year on repayment delivering for homeowners?
The numbers have sparked calls for the government to reform renting laws faster and build more affordable homes. The UK is stuck in the middle of a cost of living crisis, high rates of inflation, leaving people struggling to pay for essentials and meet rapidly rising rental prices. There are also fears that the UK could fall into recession, which would make life harder for ordinary people.
The homelessness crisis in England comes at the heels of a mortgage crisis, which has been brewing for some time. Back in June, the Bank of England hiked interest rates by 50 basis points to 5%. The move has affected millions of homeowners, as the interest rates on many mortgages are directly linked to the central bank's base rate. Renters have seen their payments increase, as buy-to-let landlords pass on higher mortgage repayments. Estimates show interest rate hike would see 1.2 million UK households run out of savings by the end of the year because of higher mortgage repayments. Higher borrowing costs are not just affecting households with mortgages and other loans, but forcing companies to tread more carefully in their management of costs in a tougher economy. The mortgage crisis comes against the backdrop of a slowdown in the economy.
If you push interest rates too high, you may be able to bring inflation down, but you will certainly push the economy into recession, and you will cause problems with the mortgage markets.
The inflation in June stood at 7.9%, a little bit lower than 8.2% in May, but still well above the Bank of England's 2% target. But at the same time, economic output fell 0.1% in May from April. All sectors of the economy contracted, with the exception of services. There are now fears of a possible recession due to the inflation and rising interest rates.
I am really worried about this. I am very, very worried about this. I think the word stagflation, stag being the recession side of growth, flation being high price inflation, is going to be something that you and me and others will say way too many times in the next few months.
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight. Every hegemonic currency system has its day of collapse. It is the USC itself that sets off the inevitable trend of the end of dollar dominance, which may be what many American strategists and economic pundits are worried about. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to IRNA, Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has said he plans to raise the issue of de-dollarization at the next gathering of the BRICS group of emerging economies. The Brazilian president said during the Paris summit on a new global financial pact why Brazil and Argentina would have to trade in dollars. Why don't we do it in our own currencies? Why can't Brazil and China trade in their currencies? The question of why I need to buy dollars is on my agenda. Leaders of the BRICS group, comprising Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are due to hold a summit in Johannesburg in August. Lula had previously called on developing countries to replace the US dollar with their own currencies in international trade, a push backed by China, Iran, Turkey, Iraq, and others. He said in April, while addressing the New Development Bank of Shanghai, why can't a bank like that of the BRICS have a currency to finance trade relations between Brazil and China, between Brazil and other countries? The Brazilian president has been vocal about countries ditching the US dollar in global trade and using their national currencies instead. He has also expressed support for the creation of a common BRICS currency, a topic that is expected to be discussed at the Economic Bloc's upcoming Leaders Summit. Press TV had earlier noted Argentine President Alberto Fernandez and his Brazilian counterpart Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva have vowed to devise a mechanism to use their local currencies in bilateral trade amid a growing trend of dumping the US dollar in trade deals by many countries. The left-leaning leaders of the two main Mercosur Southern Common Market partners met recently in the Brazilian capital to explore ways to boost trade and dump the US dollar. Lula said alongside Fernandez spoke to the press, "The meeting was long, difficult, and we will carry out many more meetings. I made a commitment to my friend Alberto Fernandez that I will do every and any sacrifice so we can help Argentina in this difficult moment. They have made the decision to help make sure that Brazilian companies continue exporting to Argentina, and they had asked us to do some homework, which we have already done and have to do with the necessary guarantees. The proposed plan involves a line of credit to finance Brazilian companies that export to Argentina with the intention of avoiding use of the dollar," said Brazil's Deputy Minister of Economy, Gabriel Gallipolo. Gallipolo declared that his government proposed the creation of a special line of financing for Brazilian companies exporting to Argentina using local currencies, and thus maintain the flow of bilateral trade between the two Latin American economic heavyweights. The official further explained in an interview with the local Globo News Network that the use of the US dollar for trade had caused the country to lose billions. Gallipolo underlined, "In the last 5 years, due to Brazil's lack of mechanisms to finance its exports and Argentine imports, we have lost approximately $6 billion of space in the trade balance with Argentina to China, which has been providing financing mechanisms in alternative means of payment such as swaps or giving credit to the exporter." Responsible statecraft had this title, writing, "De-dollarization is here, like it or not." According to Responsible Statecraft, a major driver is Washington's weaponization of its currency via sanctions, covering 29% of the global economy. De-dollarization appears to be an unstoppable trend as countries around the world look to reduce their dependence on U.S. currency. Countries, particularly those in the global south, are reducing their U.S. dollar reserves, settling cross-border transactions in non-dollar currencies, and exploring the formation of new multilateral settlement mechanisms. A major driver of this trend is Washington's weaponization of the dollar via expansive sanctions that currently cover 29% of the global economy and 40% of global oil reserves. In this regard, Business Insider noted, the U.S. dollar has been the world's reserve currency since the Second World War, playing an outsized role in the world's trade. But countries globally are now lining up backup currencies for trade, as sanctions against Russia have led to some prominent world leaders and business figures sounding a warning over the power Washington wields. Even President Emmanuel Macron of France, a key U.S. ally, warned against the extraterritoriality of the U.S. dollar, suggesting in an April interview with Politico that Europe should cut its dependence on the greenback. Europe won't have the time nor the resources to finance our strategic autonomy, and we will become vassals should tensions between U.S. and China heat up, Macron told Politico. Amid these dire tidings, the Chinese yuan is seizing the opportunity and is mounting a challenge to the dollar's dominance. The use of the yuan overtook the use of dollar in Chinese cross-border transactions for the first time in March, according to an April 26 research report by Bloomberg Intelligence. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen acknowledged as much, telling CNN in April, "There is a risk when we use financial sanctions that are linked to the role of the dollar that over time it could undermine the hegemony of the dollar." Yellen said, "It is a very effective tool, of course. It does create a desire on the part of China, of Russia, of Iran to find an alternative."
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the series of programs for humanity from IRIB English Radio, and I'm Hamza Azizi, talking with you about the characteristics around the human being in the Quran. One of the very interesting issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises in His holy book about human being is two types of life in this universe. Normally we are aware with the first type of life of human being in this world. We are accustomed with that. The normal life that we observe. I breathe, my heart is working, my brain is working, my organs in my body are working. So this is the life. When does that life stop? When my heart stops, my brain stops working, and my organs are disabled. This is the end of my life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is another type of life that you normally do not consider that. And that is the life of your heart. What is that heart? Is it the normal heart, which is within our chest and is beating? No. This is another type of heart. The heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His holy book describes, that also has a life and a death. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that sometimes a person's heart is died, but he's breathing. His normal heart is beating. His brain is working. He's laughing. He's crying. He's living normally like any other person, but he's dead. But you think that he's alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His holy book in chapter Yasin, لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. I have sent this book to warn the people who are alive and to make ultimatum to the ones who are disbeliever. Just look at the dualism that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. We expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the dualism between alive and a dead, or between believer and non-believer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a dualism between alive and a non-believer. So He wants to show us that a non-believer is dead. You think that he's alive, but he's not alive. He's dead. So what kind of death and life is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the non-believers as dead people while they are normally living? So this is another type of living. This is another type of heart. As He says to His Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمَعُ الْمَوْتَى. Do not talk with these non-believers who do not accept anything. They are dead. You cannot make them hear you. They are dead. They are looking at the Prophet, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as dead people. And there are many other descriptions. Inshallah, I get back to you after a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, my dear audience, to this series of programs for humanity from IRIB English Radio. I'm Hamza Azizi. I was talking about a different type of life and different type of heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is another type of heart and another type of life that you normally do not consider. In our supplications, we have our imams in their supplication said, أَمَاتَ قَلْبِي عَظِيمُ جِنَايَتِي. The imam says to the Lord that when supplicating that, oh my Lord, I have made mistakes, I have committed sins. Of course, these du'as are mentioned by Imam, but he is the story of normal human beings and not the infallible Imams. He says that I, as a fallible person who makes and commits sins, I did and committed sins, and those sins have killed my heart. I look alive, but I'm not. من قل ورعه مات قلبه. Whoever who is not wary of God, his heart is dead. He thinks that he's alive, but he's not. This type of heart has another type of life and another type of death. And this heart has another type of health and another type of illness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his holy book describes the hypocrites. في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. Hypocrites, their hearts are ill, sick. If they go to a doctor, the doctor might say, okay, your heart is working very smoothly, frequently, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, that is another heart. Your heart is dead. Your heart is ill and sick. You think that he is healthy. في قلوبهم مرض. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever comes to the day of judgment, the felicity of the people in the day of judgment is, it depends on the health of this heart. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Means the heart must be healthy, otherwise you would not reach the felicity. So this is another type of heart. It has another death, it has another life, another type of health, another type of illness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you want to revive that type of heart, if your heart is dead, or if your heart is ill and sick and you want to cure it, there is a way. And that way is Quran. Ya ayyuhan nas qad ja'atkum maw'izatun min rabbikum. The holy book is an advice. وَالشِّفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. He is going to cure. It is going to cure your heart. If you want to be revived, if you want to be have a healthy heart, get back to the holy book. Get back to the holy Quran. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us, and we will have a healthy, alive heart and keep it protected until the day of judgment. Thank you very much. Have a good time. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa ala ali Nabi.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC.
Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intel Sat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Chris Williamson, the chief business economist at Standard & Poor's Global Market Intelligence, has said that Britain's economy has come close to stalling in July, which, combined with gloomy forward-looking indicators, reignites recession worries. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Telegraph has covered this story and tells us more. Economists warn Britain is facing a prolonged economic slump caused by higher interest rates, with the battle against inflation set to weigh on growth for years to come. EY Item Club, the only private sector forecaster to use the same model as the Treasury, has slashed its forecast for economic growth in 2024 and 2025, as it said, interest rates were now on track to be higher for longer. In its latest quarterly update, the group said the economy is set to grow by 0.8% next year, less than half its previous prediction of 1.9%. The Economist said gross domestic product growth will rise to 1.7% in 2025, down from their previous forecast of 2.3%. Martin Beck, the chief economic advisor to the EY Item Club, said, "You have got this much bigger rise in interest rates than we were expecting, and that takes time to hit the economy because of fixed-rate mortgages. It will hit harder next year than now." He added, "The Bank of England's hawkishness is going to condemn the economy to sluggish growth, even though inflation is probably going to come down quickly of its own accord." The Bank of England has so far raised interest rates from 0.1% in December 2021 to 5% now and is expected to go further in the coming months. Despite a drop in inflation in June, Bank of England officials are concerned that continued strong pay growth could keep prices rising. According to data from the job listing website at Zuna, which provides labour market data to Downing Street, and the Office for National Statistics, the ONS, advised salaries increased by 3.6% recently. According to website at Zuna, vacancies remained above 1 million in June. Tony Wilson, director at Institute for Employment Studies, said these figures show that despite the recent small rises in unemployment, the labour market is still incredibly tight. Tony Wilson said the labour market's strength poses risk for future inflation. As well as prompting sluggish economic growth, EY Item Club predicts higher for longer interest rates will cause house prices to stagnate this year before dropping sharply in 2024. Economists predict a 10% decline from the peak. However, forecasters said low unemployment, relatively high savings, and lender forbearance should help limit forced sales and provide some support to prices. The rate of price rises should fall to 3 to 3.4% next year and 1.7% in 2025, allowing the Bank of England to begin cutting interest rates late next year. Despite cutting its forecast for gross domestic product growth in the coming year, EY Item Club upgraded its short-term outlook. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. The pound is on the course for its longest stretch of daily falls since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, amid growing speculation in the currency markets that a weakening economy will limit further increases in UK interest rates. With a new report saying that Britain's economy almost stalled in July, sterling lost ground for a seventh day in a row against the US dollar, its worst run since March of 2020. The losing streak reflects the belief that the Bank of England will no longer need to raise official borrowing costs from 5% to more than 6% in order to tame inflation. Threadneedle Street's Monetary Policy Committee meets in the coming days, when it is expected to raise interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point in its 14th consecutive increase since December of 2021. Higher interest rates tend to support currencies by offering investors a higher yield, but sentiment has turned against the pound in recent days, and in early London trading, it extended its fall against the US dollar by a quarter of a cent to $1.281. Prior to its 7 days of falls, sterling had stood at $1.314, its highest level in the past 15 months. Fresh support for the notion that the Bank of England will not need to tighten policy as much as previously anticipated came from Purchasing Managers Index, a monthly snapshot of the state of the private sector produced by Standard & Poor's and the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply. The report showed output falling from 52.8 in June to 50.7 in July, a level only slightly above the cut-off mark of 50 that separates a growing economy from one that is contracting. Activity in the service sector slipped from 53.7 to 51.5, while the recessionary conditions facing manufacturing worsened, with output falling from 48.1 to 46.5. Chris Williamson, the chief business economist at Standard & Poor's Global Market Intelligence, said Britain's economy has come close to stalling in July, which, combined with gloomy forward-looking indicators, reignites worries about recession. Chris Williamson added, July's flash Purchasing Managers Index survey data revealed a deepening manufacturing downturn, accompanied by a further cooling of the recent resurgence of growth in the service sector. He added, rising interest rates and the higher cost of living appear to be taking an increased toll on households, dampening a post-pandemic rebound in spending on leisure activities. Meanwhile, manufacturers are cutting production in response to a worryingly severe downturn in orders, both from domestic and export markets. Samuel Toombs, a British economist at Pantheon Macro, said the survey strengthens the case for the Monetary Policy Committee to revert to raising bank interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point at next month's meeting, rather than unleash another half a percentage point hike. The increase in interest rates delivered to date appears to be increasingly slowing the economy. The composite index fell to its lowest level since January and to a level consistent with gross domestic product merely holding steady. Meanwhile, experts warned that British households will continue to bear the burden of soaring energy prices contributing to the ongoing cost of living crisis in Britain. The latest report by Investec Bank PLC projects that the average household energy bill will remain at £1,900 per year throughout the third quarter of 2024. In a note, analyst Martin Young noted that while this figure is slightly lower than the initial estimates, it offers little respite for struggling households. Adding to the gloomy outlook, consultancy firm Cornwall Insight has recently unveiled its own forecast for the energy market. According to their analysis, high power prices are anticipated to linger until the late 2030s, exacerbating the financial burden on consumers and businesses alike. Starting from 1st of July, the energy price cap for dual-fuel households paying by direct debit based on typical consumption is set at an annual level of £2,074. Prior to the energy crisis, the standard annual cost for gas and electricity for a typical British household was £1,271.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about the virtues of the pilgrimage and ziyarat of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. As you know, we are in the month of Muharram. We just passed the day of Ashura. And in the month of Muharram, as you know, we commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam and his faithful companions and some of his family members who were martyred on the plains of Karbala at the hands of the army of Yazid alayhi la'na. And for this, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners and our respected audience on this very sad and this most solemn month. In this beautiful hadith, we read that the virtues of the ziyarat and the pilgrimage to the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, may Allah give us all the opportunity to do so. A person named Hamran, he says the following: I paid pilgrimage to the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When I returned from my journey to the pilgrimage to Imam Hussein's grave, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam came to visit me. This is a very beautiful hadith. It shows us that the pilgrim to Imam Hussein's grave is so virtuous and noble that the Imam himself, the Imam of the time himself, comes to pay a visit to him. In any case, in continuation, this person says that Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam said the following to me when he came to visit me. Oh Hamran, I would like to give congratulations to you and say the following: that any person who visits the graves of the martyrs of the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and the person who does so, his intention in this act is the satisfaction of God and proximity to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, such a person, his sins will be forgiven. Meaning, the actual wording of the hadith is that he will exit his sins. He will come out of his state of sinfulness in the way that a newborn child exits the womb of his mother when he's born. Meaning, he will be so pure and sinless that he will resemble a child who has just been born. How pure and how sinless and how immaculate is a child when he's born? That person who visits the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and all of the martyrs and of the family of the Prophet, and of course his intention should be the proximity to God in this. He shouldn't be, he wants to boast about it or brag about it to others. No, his intention should be a pure intention. If this person does so in this case, his sins will be forgiven. And he will be just as if he has been born that day. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of visiting the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and also the martyrs of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the words of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.